The water was really warm, and there's no AC up there, so I'm like, I had to change real quick, and now I'm sweating a little bit, so it's going to have that pastor sweat going up here. So it's been a hot week. I hope you've been okay and staying cool there. That was exciting. Thank you so much for your support. I kind of got a little emotional praying there at the end just because so many of you have poured into Owen's life and my kid's life, so thank you for that. I need to stop because I'll keep getting emotional. So we are in our Rooted series, and we're going through, these are some of the basics of our Christian faith. And so the first week, we looked at kind of what Rooted is all about, and then we talked about what it means to be a disciple and why it's important for us to follow Jesus and his example for us. And then last week, we looked at the question of who is God, kind of this big question that, you know, it's going to be hard for us to kind of narrow down all those things about God. But there are certain things that God reveals to us that we can learn about him. But then there's always going to be kind of this mysterious side of God that we're not going to know everything about God. But yet he reveals himself to us in so many different ways. And so we explored that a little bit as well last week of who is God. And then this week we're going to explore the topic together of how does God speak to us. A few years ago there was this movie that came out, kind of an independent movie called In the Pursuit of Silence. And I didn't see the movie, but I watched the trailer and I was reading about a review of the movie. And as they were doing a screening, one of the very first screenings of the movie, about 3 minutes into this movie called In Pursuit of Silence, someone in the audience stood up and turns around and says, "What about the sound? What's going on with this movie? Where's the sound in this movie?" And of course, the producers in the front row began to groan and grumble a little bit, but then they realize this actually shows exactly what we were talking about in this movie and the reason we put this film together, and that is that the balance of noise and silence in our lives has drastically fallen out of sync. Our lives can be so loud and so busy at times that oftentimes I think we miss the voice of God. I think most people desperately want to hear God's voice and God speaking to them, and he is speaking to us all the time. But often the noise of our relationships, our finances, our addictions, past mistakes, the noise of just the world around us, Facebook, social media, can drown out the voice of God. And so all this noise around us makes it difficult for us to sometimes hear what God is saying. We hear all these different messages each and every day. So how do we distinguish God's voice? I think also many of us have a hard time just even comprehending that the God of the universe would even want to speak to us. I think sometimes we see and we look at our lives, we see our imperfections, we see our sin, we see the mistakes that we've made, and we think, why does this God even want to speak to us? Why does the creator of the universe want to speak to me? And the truth is that he created us and that he desires to speak with us. That's hard for us to believe sometimes. And so this morning, I want us to look at a few different ways that we can hear from God. Now, there's many different ways, and we're not going to cover all of those this morning, but I want to share some of the more important ones and some of the ways that God speaks to us each and every day. And then I want us to look at prayer and how we communicate to God. So would you join me? Let's pray as we begin. God, I thank you that you desire to speak to us. And so God, this morning, I pray that we can quiet our hearts, our minds, all the distractions, all the things that we have going on. And I pray, God, that we can hear from you this morning. God, we thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, I cannot cool off after that up there. It's warm. Crank up the AC. All right. One of the first ways that we hear from God is through his word. And I want us to explore that this morning. Through Rooted and hopefully learning the importance, we are going to learn the importance of being in God's word. And this is one of the primary ways that God speaks to us. And so for us, if we're not constantly and consistently in God's word on a regular basis, then we're already at a disadvantage when it comes to hearing God speak to us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It's amazing to me that this verse says that Scripture is alive and active. And I don't know about you, but in my life, there's certain times where I may have read a Scripture passage several times, but maybe something that I'm going through in that moment, it speaks to me in a different way. You may have been around the church a long time and you've heard different sermons, but maybe sometimes God's word speaks to you in a different way. You hear something in a different way because of what you're dealing with. This verse also talks about how Scripture will challenge our thoughts and our attitudes. As we read the Scripture and as we meditate on God's word, certain things will begin to stand out to us. Maybe you're dealing with depression and you come across a Scripture verse where God's word encourages you in some way. That is God speaking to you through his word. Or maybe you're fearful about a decision or a loss of a job or a family member or something that you're going through, and you have this fear and you come across a verse where God encourages you and tells you, "Do not be afraid, trust in me." This is God speaking in our lives and to us. His word also brings correction to our lives where needed. We all have sin. We all have these areas in our lives where we're not proud of. And God's word speaks to that as well. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" There are different methods when it comes to being in God's word on a regular basis and hearing from God through that. And you have to find out what works for you. Some of you might be morning people that like to get up in the morning and dive into God's word. Some of you might be the late night person, or maybe it's on your lunch break that you want to find that time. You have to find what works for you. But I want to give you just a couple suggestions before you open God's word. I think the first one is important because I think sometimes we can view God's word as something, as a task that maybe needs to be done during the day. And so I want to encourage you, before you spend that time with God, before you open his word, expect it to be a place where you will meet with God. Expect it to be a place where God will show up and speak to you through his word. I remember in college, for me, that was the problem there, was I wanted to be in God's word, and that was my desire, but then it slowly or quickly became kind of a to-do list, something for my day that I needed to get done. So, okay, I read God's word, I'm done, now I can move on to my homework and everything else that I need to do. And the Bible can easily become that for us. And so I want to encourage you to expect to meet God. Read a small part of the passage and then reflect on what you've read and ask yourself, if this is true, how is my life different because of this? How now shall I live my life? How shall I speak to other people because of this? We need to view God's word as transforming in our lives, and then we'll see him speak to us. I also want to encourage you to write in your Bible. Don't be afraid to mark up your Bible, underline, highlight, circle things, write things in the notes. As you hear God speak to you, those things will help remind you in those times when maybe you haven't heard God's voice in a long time. I know in my Bible, I've had it since I was 18, and I can look back at certain times and see certain ways that God has spoken to me in those times. And you can reflect upon that in those times where God may seem distant to you. Another way that we can hear God speak to us is through other people. One of the things about Rooted and why we push our life groups so much here at Wilshire Avenue is the importance of us being together and being with people and be connected with other believers. This isn't something that we're supposed to do on our own. God desires us to be in relationships. And oftentimes the way that I hear God speak to me is through other people. Other people, trusted people that I know that can speak into my life and challenge me in those areas that I need to be challenged with, or encourage me in those areas I need to be encouraged in. That is God speaking through those people. And so hopefully during this rooted process, and if you're not involved in a group, I encourage you to get connected with other people that you can allow to speak into your life. It will help you so much on your journey and hearing from God. Also know that those people that you've trusted yourself with, what they share with you needs to be backed up through Scripture. God's not going to call you to something that goes against His word. So those people that you've allowed, make sure what they're sharing with you is backed up with Scripture. And so who are those people in your life? Do you have those people in your life that you've trusted yourself to, that you allow to speak into your life? We need to have those people. The next area I want to talk about and spend the majority of the time in is God speaking to us through prayer. Prayer, simply put, is communication with God. And like any good relationship, it's a two-way street. It's both speaking and listening. And I think if we're honest, most of us are probably a little bit better at the speaking side of things. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely the talker in my family. So there's a lot of my family right here, and they're probably all going to shake their head about how much I talk, because I do tend to be the talker. And my kids sometimes will warn me. I know through the sports programs and other stuff, oftentimes when I go to the grocery store, we'll run into people, you know, from the community or people that I know. My kids will warn me before we go in, "Dad, if you see people you know, please keep it short. Just quickly, and then let's move on." Because I'll just sit there and talk, and then other times be looking for people that I can find to talk to. Or have you ever had it where you're like on your phone and you're talking to someone, you're just talking so much that the call ended like a couple minutes ago and you have no idea? It's like, oh, wait, I guess I should pause every once in a while. And I think often when it comes to prayer and us communicating and talking to God, I think oftentimes it's us doing most of the talking and not really spending much time listening to what God has to say. The communication needs to go both ways. And I remember several years ago, a counselor was sharing about communication and how it being a two-way street. And they used this analogy of tennis balls. And so if I have three tennis balls with me and I'm in a conversation and I throw a tennis ball and then I throw another tennis ball and I don't wait and I throw another tennis ball and I just keep throwing these tennis balls and I never stop long enough to allow the person to throw the tennis ball back to me, then it's just a one-sided conversation. And I think this analogy, if it sticks with you, I think sometimes with God, it can be in our prayer time of us, in a way, throwing tennis balls at God. We throw these things at God. We throw these requests at God. And that's good. God says to present your request to Him. He wants us to do that. But then oftentimes we kind of move on and we throw and then we leave and we never wait to hear what God has for us. Sometimes we miss that small voice of God. And there's a great story in 1 Kings chapter 19 where God speaks to Elijah. And I want to remind us of this story. I think it's a good reminder as we go through life and sometimes wanting to hear God's voice and then missing it. It says this, 1 Kings 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So I think sometimes in our lives we're waiting for that loud booming voice of God to just kind of shout down from heaven and say, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to say. And it's this big kind of booming, loud voice of God. And sometimes God can speak that way to you in your lives. I'm not doubting that at all. But I think oftentimes it's that gentle whisper. Those times when we're quiet and we're still before God and we can hear him actually speaking in our lives. See, God is continually speaking to us each and every day, every single moment of the day. And I was reading about how one person shared, once God has spoken something, he speaks that and it is in motion for us. So for example, in Genesis, when God says, let there be light, and God created the light, that is an ongoing thing that God is doing for us each and every day. So God doesn't wake up every morning and then, oh, let there be light. He said it, he spoke it, and it is there, and it is ongoing for us. So each time we see the sunrise, each time we see and experience light, that is God speaking to us. Maybe it's a small voice for us, but that is God speaking to us. And the good news of this for us is that God says in his word that he created us and that he loves us and that he has a plan and he has a purpose for us. And so when we're going through life and we're wondering, why is God not speaking to me? Why am I not hearing the voice of God? God spoke those things into your life. They are there in his word. They are there for us and they are ongoing each and every day. It says his mercies are new each and every day. So once God has spoken those things, they are there for us and for our benefit, and we can trust that. In the rooted material that you're going to be going through this week, it gives you some suggestions when it comes to prayer and having this prayer time with God. And I want to highlight and have us look at a couple of those different things and then give you some practical ways that we can begin to grow our prayer lives. And so the first thing that it talks about when we pray to God, now this is us communicating to God. The first is to pray privately. Pray privately. We see Jesus model this for us throughout the Gospels. Oftentimes when I would read and was learning about the life of Jesus, I'd want to get right to, okay, what'd he do? Who'd he heal? Who'd he feed? How'd he help this person? What did he do, right? That's kind of where we want to go. We want to see the action that he did. And oftentimes, I would miss these parts of Scripture, like Luke 9:18, where it says, one day Jesus left the crowds to pray alone. I would just kind of gloss over that. Okay, he did that. Now what's he going to do? Mark 1:35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. And so this was the ministry that Jesus was doing. He was going to the Father in prayer. This was the action that was taking place. And if Jesus needed to get alone and have that time alone with God, how much more do we need to do that in our lives before we go out and before we serve? The second suggestion is to pray regularly. We also see this in the life of Jesus, in his everyday life. It's good to set aside a time to slow down and to pray and to reflect and to listen to God. But the scriptures also encourage us to pray regularly and throughout the day. We can constantly be in prayer with God throughout the day. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all the believers everywhere. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 reminds us to pray continually. So I encourage you, set aside that time, that private time to pray, but don't just stop there and kind of check it off the list, done that. Pray throughout the day. Pray as you're going to work. Pray on your breaks. Pray as things pop in to your mind. And then the third is to pray genuinely. The good news is that we don't have to pretend in prayer when we come to God. We don't have to put on this mask. We can just come to God however we are. He wants us to come to him with genuine and sincere hearts. God already knows our hearts. He already knows our mistakes. He knows our sin. And yet he still desires to be in this relationship with us. I love reading through the Psalms and looking at some of the prayers of David. David was considered a man after God's own heart. And if you read through some of the Psalms, you see some of these prayers and some of these cries that David makes to God. Just pouring his heart out and his weaknesses and his sin and all of these things and laying them before God. And then you see David as well praising God and sharing amazing things about what God has done and how God has been them. It's like this roller coaster prayer life. And it encourages me because sometimes that's how our lives can be. Sometimes it's, God, everything's great and this is awesome. And sometimes it's, God, where are you at? I don't feel you. I don't see you. And so David and the Psalms help me through that. And I encourage you to take a look at that. The rooted material also gives us an acronym for prayer and just kind of a practical method for us when it comes to spending time with God. And so maybe for some of you who've been a Christian for a while, you have a good prayer life, you have a method that works for you, and that's great, and I hope that you continue to do that. And then this is a guide, a way that can help you as you're starting maybe on your journey, or even if you've been a Christian a long time, this is still a great method to use when it comes to prayer. And it uses the acronym PRAY, so it's easy for you to remember. The first one is praise. So the P stands for praise. Giving thanks to God for who he is and what he has done for you. So we start off by praising God for his goodness, for his mercy, for his love for us, for his son Jesus, for his grace, for all those things that God does for us each and every day and the blessings that he gives us. We stop and we praise God for who he is. Psalm 9:1-2 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. So we start off by praising God in our prayer time for who he is. And then we move into the R, which stands for repent. As I said, we need to pray genuinely. So this is our time to come before God and to confess those things in our lives that we're not proud of, that we need to let go of in our lives. And it's a chance for us to just come and lay those at his feet. And God already knows those things, but we present those things to God and we confess those things. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he'll forgive us of our sins and he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. And so we praise God, we repent, and then we ask. This is a time for us to present those requests to God, those things that are on your heart, those family members that are hurting, that are in pain, that are sick, those coworkers that don't know the Lord, those people that are suffering in Texas. These are the times for us to ask God and present those requests to God. And the good news is that God hears all of those prayers. Now keep in mind, he might not answer them exactly how you want him to answer them, but he does hear those prayers, and he answers them according to his wisdom and his love and what's best for us. And then last, we yield. As I talked about, this is the time for us to pause from talking and to yield to God and to begin to try to hear God's voice and what God has to say to us. It might be good to have a little notepad or something, if God puts something on your heart, to write that down during that time. But this is a chance for us to hear what God is saying to us. And so I hope that helps you in your prayer time as you journey with God and as you grow in your prayer time with God. We've also included in the workbook, there's a page that we've put in there called your 8 to 15. We've talked about this for a while now with the oikos concept, and what it is that God has strategically placed, they say, about 8 to 15 people in your life who don't know who Jesus is. And so we want to encourage you and give you a practical tool and a way that you can begin to pray for those people. So if you don't have a book, we have extra copies available at the Welcome Center out there. I'd encourage you to grab one of those and just begin to jot down some names of maybe neighbors, coworkers, family members who don't know who the Lord is. And this isn't something to do as a task, or this person is a task or a mission to accomplish. This is because God loves them and God created them, and we desire to see them come to know the Lord. And when that happens, when you have those cards and you write those names down, and when you see someone come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it's a beautiful thing. And so I encourage you to take one of those and to begin to pray and ask, who are those people in my life that need to be on this card? Who are people that God has strategically placed in my life to pray for? And then pray for them regularly that they may come to know the Lord. And then I also want to let you know, as Pastor Mark mentioned in the announcements, about our prayer experience this Saturday on the 9th at 10 o'clock. We encourage all of our congregation, even if you're not in a rooted group, we encourage you to come this Saturday at 10. We're going to be having a corporate prayer time. We're going to be praying around our campus, around our North Campus, praying for our church, praying for our community. And so we invite you to come out to that prayer experience this Saturday. And then also want to let you know about another opportunity that you have to practice prayer and to put prayer as part of your life, and that's our Tuesday night prayer group that meets here at 6:30. You can come and you can receive prayer. I've been there nights where people have come and they've needed prayer, and we've just spent time praying and encouraging that person. But also come and pray for our church and pray for our staff, pray for our community, and pray for each other. And so I want to encourage you Tuesday nights to come out to that at 6:30. This journey of prayer is an ongoing process. This isn't something in our lives where, okay, I'm good, I can move on to the next thing. I want to close with the reminder that this takes time and practice in our lives. It's a learning and it's a growing process when it comes to praying and hearing from God. And so don't get discouraged when you feel those times in your life where I cannot hear God speaking to me. I encourage you to get into His Word. I encourage you to find other people around you. I encourage you to just be quiet and to try to hear the voice of God. Spend time with the God who created you and who loves you. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can even come to you in prayer. God, I thank you that you desire to hear us, and God, you desire to speak to us. And God, that's only through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, Lord, a time to remember and reflect upon the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Lord, for his blood that was shed, for his body that was broken. God, it's through that sacrifice that we even have the ability to come to you in prayer. It's through the blood of Jesus, Lord, that we have been cleansed. Lord, that we can come to you and that you hear us. And so, God, wherever we're at today, Lord, I pray that we can begin to hear your voice. God, that you can speak to us and that we can hear your voice. So God, I pray that you prepare our hearts for communion as we come to the table and as we remember and reflect upon the sacrifice you made in your Son, Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. The band's going to play, and we invite you at this time to come and share in communion together. There's tables on the side up here. I believe there's one up as well in the balcony. And so when you're ready, please come. Grab the cracker representing the body of Jesus that was broken. Dip it in the cup representing his blood that was shed. And remember that sacrifice that he made for us.